You've got your Bibles. I'm going to ask you to do a difficult thing. Turn two places at the same time. Can you handle that? First Kings chapter 3, verse 5. And then put your finger there. First Kings 3, 5. And Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Now, while you sit in that uncomfortable position, let me review with you for just about 2 minutes. This week, I believe the food that the cook wanted to cook up for us and wanted me as a table waiter to serve comes out of the theme of, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good," Psalm 34:8. He invites us to taste Him. That's about experience. It's not just filling up our mind with more knowledge. Not that that's bad necessarily. It's not just writing about God. It's not just listening about God. It's experiencing God. He wanted us this week to get a fresh taste. Sunday morning we talked about experiencing Jesus as a confronter or a convictor. That had to do with taking a fresh look at our depravity, smelling our cesspool, if you will, dealing with our sinfulness. And the cry of the heart is, "Break me, search me, break me." Experiencing the confrontation of Jesus. That sounds bad, but it's good. It's good. It hurts so good. Sunday night we talked about experiencing Jesus not only as a confronter, but experiencing Jesus as a forgiver. That was really good. Surprised by His mercy, startled by His passion. Monday night we talked about experiencing the love of Jesus, tasting the love of Jesus. That I'm wanted. Ooh. Ooh. I'm wanted. I'm embraced. I'm secure. I'm understood. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, tasting His love. Last night I talked about experiencing the touch of Jesus. Who qualifies for the touch? It's the needy person. That's good news for me. It's the needy out loud person. It's the needy out loud person who brings their needs to Jesus, not a false god. It's the person that, as the enemy resists the touch, we persist through the resistance. And it's the person who's just specific. "What do you want me to do for you?" he said to those two blind guys. "This is what I need." Tonight I want to talk about a subject that I think this church probably knows a lot about, but I want to serve the meal anyway. I want to talk about experiencing the voice of Jesus. Being led by the Spirit. Do you know, I have never had to ask God to bless this topic, because He just always seems to say to me, "Say it and I will bless it, because I just like it so much." He really, if I taste His heart tonight, He really likes what I'm talking about tonight. He likes it. 1 Kings 3:5, are you there? That was an audience participation question. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I want to ask a question right before I read a few verses out of 1 Kings 3:5. If God appeared to you in your bedroom one night in a way that you could see Him, it was a real live epiphany. I don't even know what that word means, but I like that word. But if He appeared to you and He basically asked you this question, He said, "Hey, I'm willing to give you any one thing. What do you want?" Don't answer here, answer here. What would you ask Him for? "I'll give you any one thing you want." What do you want? Well, lest we blow that off and think, "Well, that's a stupid illustration." Maybe parts of it are stupid. But do you know something similar to that actually happened in biblical history? Now we're at 1 Kings 3:5. Just want to read a few verses out of this, and then I want to go back to Luke 10. In Gibeon 3:5, 1 Kings, The Lord appeared to Solomon, there it is, in a dream at night, and God said, ask what you wish me to give you. What do you want, Solomon? Now, because of some time, I just want to move down to verse 9, and I want you to see what Solomon asked for. Could ask for anything. So give thy servant, Solomon says, an understanding heart. Another translation for that word understanding is the word hearing. God, this is what I want. Give me a heart with ears on it. Give me an unusual ability to hear your voice. To judge thy people, to discern between good and evil. For who's able to judge this great people of thine? He was the king. Notice God's reaction in verse 10. It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And notice the growing excitement in God's heart. And God said to him, because you've asked this thing, and you've not asked for yourself long life, nor have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but you've asked for discernment, again a different translation, hearing to understand justice. Behold, I've done according to your words. I've given you a wise and a hearing heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. Verse 13, again, notice God's excitement. And I've also given you what you've not asked for. What you've asked for has blessed me so much, I'm going to dump a bunch of other stuff on you that you didn't even ask for. I'm going to give you riches and honor so that there won't be any among you, the kings, like you all your days. Go to Luke chapter 10. Verses 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. A real well-known passage. But boy, what a big one. Let this one land on you. If you've heard it 100 times, let it land freshly on you. Now as they, Jesus and the disciples, were traveling along, he, capital H, Jesus, entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. And she had a sister called Mary. Notice what Mary was doing. Who, moreover, was listening to the Lord's word seated at his feet. I mean, the posture with her was just basically this. She was a listener. She was a hearer. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with all of her preparations for Jesus even. And she came up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care? Have you ever said that to the Lord? Lord, don't you care that my sister's let me do all the service? Don't tell her to help me. I want you to notice verses 41 and 42. This is huge, folks. This is from God with skin. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. Look at me for a minute. Look at me for a minute. Does that one line ever describe you? You are worried and bothered about so many things. Welcome to life in the 90s. But this is what I love in verse 42. Get this. This is good news. But only a few things are necessary. Worried and bothered about so many things. Yes, Lord, got my attention. But really only a few things are necessary. Now, if the verse even stopped there, I'd still be on the edge of my folding chair. Only a few, many, just a few things. I go into Christian bookstores, and I tell you, I want to take a nap. You know, 309 ways to. Feels complicated. ways to have devotions. 114 ways to be a good dad. And yet I hear Jesus say, only a few things are necessary, but listen to this. He narrows it down even further. Really, only one. Whoa. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Go back one page, Luke chapter 8, 19 through 21. Or several pages, sorry. Luke chapter 8, 19 through 21. This passage is about listening. About listening. Verse 19, 20 and 21 of Luke 8. And his mother and brothers came to Jesus, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. But he answered Jesus and said to them, my mother and my brothers, the people who are more intimate with me than even my biological family, are those who hear the word of God and do it. In 1974, I was about 3.5 years old in the Lord, and I heard a message on hearing God, listening to God. And it so harpooned me, it so penetrated me, I couldn't go out for coffee afterwards. I went back to my hotel room and just laid on the bed. And I said, you know, God, on my best day, I'm goofy. That's my best day. But and I don't know what all I want to be, but I want to tell you, one thing I really want to be, I want to be a listener to the voice of the Spirit of God. And that was 22 years ago. And let me just give you a few things that maybe you already know and maybe you don't about listening to God. Just some observations. Observation number one, which almost goes without saying, but I want to say it, is this. You know, hearing God is a normal thing. It's not an abnormal thing. My church tradition, if you had somebody in the church that said, well, you know, I believe the Spirit of God is telling me this, I mean, we just kind of go, really? Now, I realize this truth I'm talking about tonight is probably one of the most abused truths in the body of Christ. I know that. I mean, with my medical condition, I had a guy come up to me one time and he says, I believe the Holy Spirit told me to tell you to take a coffee enema. I don't believe the Holy Spirit told him that. I almost want to say you first, you know. Calf or decaf, you know. I don't think I am. I don't think I'm naive to the abuses of this, but every truth in Scripture gets abused, and I ain't going to throw it out. I mean, the truth of grace gets so abused, it's unbelievable, but I ain't throwing grace out. The truth of listening to the Holy Spirit gets incredibly abused, but I want to bring us back there. I just want to say to you, it is so normal in a relationship, not with the historical Jesus, but a living Jesus, to hear Jesus. It's just normal. I mean, tomorrow I'm going to come home. I'm going to meet my wife at the baggage claim in Minneapolis. Things will go into slow motion, and there she'll be. She'll say, I love you. I missed you. I'm probably just having a fantasy, but anyway. She'll probably say the trash is just all over the house. But you know, when I meet her at baggage claim, my response when she speaks to me is not going to be, she spoke to me. That's not going to be my response. Well, and you would look at me just as normally and say, well, of course that wouldn't be your response. What a stupid response that would be. And if I pressed you on the issue, I'd say, well, why is that so normal? Well, she's alive, you're alive, you're in a relationship. The key to a good relationship is communication. Of course she spoke to you. And yeah, boy, I'll tell you, we get into walking with Jesus and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden it feels real abnormal. First observation, that's almost a moot point. I just want to say it's normal. It is normal. It's normal. Second thing I want to say, after thinking about this for 20-something years, one of the most often repeated phrases in Scripture is this phrase, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus said that 10 times. After the ascension, the Holy Spirit said that 6 times. Third observation, most of what, again, my experience that I've heard God say to me has been encouragement. I think He loves us. Just tell us He loves us. Most of what I've heard God say to me in the last 22 years, standing back and looking at it, it's been far more love talk than even task talk. And I think He does give us tasks, and He gives us assignments. But I think if we learn to hear Him, He just says a lot of stuff like, "I love you." I was in a wallpaper store years ago when my daughter was about, I don't know, 7. She was about navel height. Saturday morning, I opened up the Minneapolis Star and Tribune, and I noticed this huge wallpaper sale. That was the good news. You know, 4 rolls for $1. The bad news is 2.5 million people live in the Twin Cities. I got to this wallpaper store, and I mean, it was a mass of humanity. I took my daughter, little girl with me, and we get into this wallpaper store. It's the first time, I'm not kidding you, where you moved without having to move your feet. My daughter's about, again, navel height. Finally, she goes, "Daddy, I can't breathe. I can't breathe." I reached down and I grabbed her. It was during the summer, and I put her up on my shoulders. She had those little shorts on, those little chubby legs. I started just kind of walking like this with her again, you know. All of a sudden, I looked at those little chubby legs, and I found myself patting those legs. After a few minutes, I found myself not caring about wallpaper anymore. And I put my head up, and I just said, "Dava." She said, "What?" I said, "You know what?" "What?" I said, "I just love you." You know what she said? She said, "I know." You know why she knew? She heard it a lot. Most of what I've heard God say to me has been encouragement. Much of what I've heard God say to me, "Wow, well, duh," has come through the Scriptures. Do you know, if I want to catch a fish, I could wait for it to rain and fish in my driveway, couldn't I? I mean, if I wanted to. But I don't think my chances of catching a fish would be very good. I want to go where the fish hang out. And I've learned, again, simple basic truth, but I've learned God hangs around His Word. He hangs around His Word. And a lot of times, most of the time, He speaks to us through His Word. You know that. But it makes me tremble when I realize the average high school teenager spends 5 minutes a week in the Bible. 5 minutes a week. No wonder we don't hear God very much. I like this one. Another observation is, much of what God says to me is just real earthy. By that I don't mean crude, but it's just earthy. One of my favorite books in the Scripture that constantly just messes me up, it almost makes me discontented, which I'm glad, is the book of Acts. And I read the book of Acts. I remember one time I sat down and I read the book of Acts from beginning to end in one sitting, and one of the phrases I noticed over and over and over was this phrase, "And the Holy Spirit said, and the Holy Spirit said, and the Holy Spirit said, and the Holy Spirit said." And what I noticed as I read the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit spoke, it was just kind of earthy. I used to think when the Holy Spirit would speak to me, it'd be just kind of be, "Thou who dwelleth among the cherubim, Selah." You know, this is important. What I noticed in the Scripture is when the Holy Spirit would speak, specifically in the book of Acts, like one of the incidences, Peter's up on top of a building, and the Holy Spirit says, Peter, listen, there are going to be some guys coming along in a few minutes. You go downstairs, you meet them, and don't be afraid. Don't have any misgivings. Well, that's pretty earthy. Hey, Paul and Barnabas, I got work for you. There it is. Go for it. Hey, Philip, there's a guy in a chariot that's going to be coming along. I want you to join yourself. Well, see, that sounds like stuff I would say. Not God, but the good news is that's called God stooping to our level. That's big. That's big. It takes time to recognize God's voice. We're going to stumble and bumble with that a lot. Do you know, for some of you, that listening to the voice of the Spirit is not a regular thing for you? You know what? You are going to blow it. You're going to make some mistakes. But the good news is, if you say, you know, Lord, like Mary, if you said only one thing is necessary, well, then I want to be about that. And I want to learn to just walk in the water. And yeah, I'm going to make some mistakes. In baseball, if a guy gets 4 hits out of 10, we give him a trophy. He missed 6. As Christians, we always want to hear God all the right way, perfect. We won't. But we can grow in that listening. Do you know, if you took 10 women, lined them up across the stage, blindfolded me, and let each of them speak, if one of those women was my mother, I'd recognize her voice every time. You know why? Because I've been listening to her voice for a lifetime. I was reading about Reese Howell in the scripture. The book described Reese Howell basically this way. It said, Reese Howell knew the voice of God better than he knew the voice of his own mother. Why? Because he'd spent a lifetime listening. We're going to miss it some, but it's okay. Which basically means whenever we think God's Spirit speaking to us, I think we need to use the language that the author of Acts did in 1528, where it said, it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. I don't go up to people and say, the Holy Spirit told me. I'm not sure. I miss it. It's a humbling thing to listen to the Spirit. We need to have that humility in us. It seems like this is what the Holy Spirit's saying. I'm not sure. I wish that guy would have said that about the coffee enema. A couple of more things before I'm getting ready to give a hook that's going to hook you in a minute. Because I believe there's a word that I hadn't got to yet that is the word for tonight. Listening was one of the primary activities of Jesus. I don't do anything on my own initiative. But only what I hear, that's what I say. Do you know, if you were to summarize the life of Jesus in all of simplicity, it would just be response. I respond to whatever God said, my Father says to me. If you want to live like Jesus, you will be a listener. Yes, you will. I find that amazing that Jesus said, I do nothing on my own initiative. That's God in a pair of sandals. I wait and I listen to my Father. And when I see where my Father's working, I go work. When I hear what He's saying, that's what I say. When I see what He's doing, that's what I do. That's the way Jesus lived His life. Sensitivity to the Father. Listening to the Father. I was at a conference years ago with 1,600 high school kids, none of which had a clue about what listening to God was about. Their background just didn't present that as an option, and I got up for 30 minutes and just said, if you're a Christian, I want you to know you're wired for sound. My sheep hear my voice. And I want you just to listen to the Spirit. And then I sat down. And I said, if you get an impression, put an expression. And we just sat there for about 5 minutes and nothing happened. And all of a sudden, a little boy from the back got up and he walked all the way down. Found out later he was 14 years old. And he came up to me and he said these terrifying words. Can I have a microphone? I said, why? He said, I think I need to say something. I said, are you pretty sure you do? This little kid got right in my face. Yep. So I handed that kid the microphone and he turned around and I quote verbatim, or close to verbatim. He said, I've never done anything like this before, but I was sitting in the back and this guy was talking about listening to the Holy Spirit and I thought, well, I'll give it a shot. I just said, Holy Spirit, speak to me. And he said, I sensed it in. And he said, stepdad, you're in this audience somewhere. Apparently his stepdad was a counselor for the kids that came. He said, stepdad, I just need to say to you, I never gave you a chance when you became part of our family. And could you ever forgive me? He said, mother, you're in this audience somewhere, and I know you believe in hell because I've created a hell in our family. Could you ever forgive me? He said, sister, I know you're here somewhere. He said, I have messed on you times without number. Could you ever forgive me? All of a sudden, I saw a little stepdad, and I saw mom. I saw daughter come, and I saw them begin to connect up. And I saw God right under my nose begin to heal the family right there. And you know what I noticed? Not a deep truth, but boy, what a beautiful truth. It's like when one person says yes, all of a sudden the wind began to blow a little harder. And another kid that the Spirit of God began to speak to began to move. That little ministry time went about 3.5 hours. And I tell you, the wind of the Spirit, and I want to be real careful about this, but I believe I can say this with accuracy. The wind of the Spirit was blowing in such a powerful way that I felt my hair move. Why? Because some hot dog speaker was speaking? No. But because one little 14-year-old boy listened and responded. Experiencing the voice of the Lord. I want to close with this. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, 7 and 8. Because I'm looking into some of your eyeballs tonight, and I really see a hunger to be a listener and a hearer. Hebrews 3, 7 and 8. And I just want to talk about the price of listening to God. There is a price tag. I mean, some of you want to be a listener so bad, you're looking at me like this. I mean, you're going to get a hernia if you don't relax. I think hearing God is not a hernia kind of a thing. I think it can be a restful thing. Hebrews 3, 7 and 8, let me prove that to you. Hebrews 3, 7, 8. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, there it is, as the Holy Spirit speaks, today, if you hear His voice, today, if you do, I'm not making Him speak. I'm not gritting Him into speaking. I'm not having a hernia. I'm not, no. Today, if you do, you hear Him speak, do not harden your hearts. Toby, come up here just for a minute. I want to use you for a minute. Just want you to hold the Bible right under there. Now, I'm going to illustrate this in a weird way, but this is what I believe. When we're talking about Pensacola revival, can I tell you a piece of it? I'm getting ready to give you a piece of it right here. Today, if you hear the Spirit speak to you, don't harden your heart. Now, let me illustrate this in a weird way, kind of a goofy, funny story at beginning, but then it gets sad at the end. One morning, can you just stand there for a minute? One morning, doesn't hardly happen to me very often, 3:30, quarter to 4 in the morning, I awaken, wide awake in my bedroom. And I notice I'm hungry to hear God. That's not normally me unless I'm in kind of a unique season of my life. Normally it takes me about 10 cups of coffee to come into consciousness. That's where I normally live. But this particular morning, man, I awaken, bah! And I'm hungry to hear God. And my first assumption is this: God is going to say something huge to me today. I look over at my wife. She's still sound asleep. Oh, tender, sensitive husband that I am. I'm thinking I'll just keep the lights off. I'll be real quiet. I'll get dressed. I'll go down to the church in my quiet time study there. And I'll listen to God. Leaving the lights off in my bedroom was a bad idea. Because with polio, I don't walk well with halogen lighting. So I'm in my closet trying to get dressed. It's the first time in my life I ever put my pants on and zipped them in the back. That's the truth. That is the truth. I had two different shoes on. I fell into my closet three separate times. It was a disaster. And my sweet, spirited, quiet, gentle wife, in one of those moments, I heard that sweet little voice coming across the bed. "You're driving me crazy!" And oh, sweet, sensitive, gentle, Spirit-filled man that I am, I said, "I'm going to go spend time with God." And so finally, I took my two different colored shoes and my pants that zipped in the back and my Bible, and I got in my car and I went to church. Because this was going to be the big one. True story. I'm at the office. I got the word open. Hanging around the lake. I'm casting my lure in. "Speak, Lord. Thy servant is listening." Nothing. About 90 minutes go by, as I remember. And all of a sudden, it seemed to me, the Holy Spirit said, "Your wife, Lawana, is awake now." And I remember my honest response was, "So?" Because I was expecting this: "Go to Russia." The Holy Spirit said, "You know, you were unkind to her this morning. I'm not beating you up with it, but I want you to give her a call and humble yourself and ask her to forgive you." You know what I said? I said, "No. Today, you hear his voice. Don't harden your heart. David, no. David, no. David, no." You know, David, that's a real nice message, but you know, I just don't seem to hear God very much. Maybe I'm just not a mystic. Maybe that's just for the elders, for the pastors. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. The issue, ladies and gentlemen, is not that I don't think we hear God enough. I think the issue is that we're not saying like the little boy, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening, and I will obey. I will obey." Thanks, Toby. You know, the church that I think that God's raising up in America, the Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the church of Laodicea, has got one of the spookiest pictures in the whole Bible to me. It's spooky. It's Jesus standing outside the door of the church. Jesus standing outside the door of the church, saying, "Behold," you heard this probably, many of you use this verse to become Christians. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I have fellowship with him." I really, really like this church. And that's a God thing. That's not just a soulish thing. And I pray for you, dear ones, that you'll be listeners. You'll be lovers, but you'll be listeners. Wouldn't it be great if every morning we awakened, I'm talking about me too, and we really did say as a lifestyle, "Good morning, Holy Spirit. What do we got today?" Throughout the day, good afternoon, Holy Spirit. What do we got today? You got anything today? The answer is yes before you even say anything. Won't you just bow your heads with me if you would? Maybe in the quietness of this moment, you just need to say, "Speak, Lord, your son hears." He might say, "Go to Russia," but my guess would be it'd be a lot more practical. He might just say, "For some of you, I really love you. Every time I hand you a bouquet of flowers, you cut off the tops. Quit doing that. Just let me love you. I want to forgive you. I got a neighbor down the street. I want you to be Jesus with skin to them." Alamo City Fellowship, a church for seekers of Jesus. People who listen. And when they hear, they respond. You're worried and bothered about so many things. Really, only a few things are necessary. Really, only one. And Mary chose it. Do you choose it? Do I choose it? What do you want, Solomon? I'll give you any one thing you want. What do you want? I want a wise and a hearing heart, God. That's what I want. I just want you to listen for a few moments, and if David just leads us in worship. If the Spirit of God's telling you to do something, would you do it? Might be to go to somebody. Might be to pray. Would you just be willing to say, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart? I've said no a lot and I got a callus there. Would you soften that callus? Speak, Lord. I'll obey.